Support for 89.7 NPR News comes from the James at Ohio State. The best outcomes for treating cancer come from early detection. The James Cancer Diagnostic Center is designed to provide rapid evaluation and a clear diagnosis to those who suspect they have cancer. Learn more at cancer.osu.edu/diagnosticcenter.
Good morning. I'm Christopher Purdy. Welcome to today's edition of All Sides Weekend. This is our arts and culture show where we sit down with cultural leaders here in Central Ohio to talk about what to go and see, what to go and hear, what to experience, and how these presentations get onto stages. My guests are Lita Hoffman, who is the producing artistic director of the Contemporary Theater of Ohio. I have to say it, a.k.a. once known as CATCO.
Exactly.
Okay, now the Contemporary Theater of Ohio. Chad Whittington is the president and CEO of CAPA, who runs all of the great theaters in our area with programming and developing and also developing new sites. And David Baggett is with us. David is directing a production of Annie, the Broadway hit for the Butterfly Guild of Nationwide Children's Hospital, which I believe opens next weekend.
Correct.
So you're getting down to the final home stretch to get it there. So I'll start with David Baggett because this is for a wonderful organization, the Butterfly Guild, which my understanding is produces a huge scale. This isn't a shoebox. This is in the Ohio Theater.
It's at the Southern.
The Southern Theater.
The Southern
Even better.
Theater.
Beautiful.
Beautiful theater.
Of Broadway shows. Let's start off with, what is the Butterfly Guild?
So the Butterfly Guild is a women's auxiliary organization through Nationwide Children's Hospital. It's been around actually for well over 100 years. Some people may remember it known as Pleasure Guild. So it's an organization comprised of, I think, about 55 women who work throughout the year to fundraise for the hospital's hospice and palliative care programming. So 100% of the proceeds that we raise throughout the year through various fundraisers goes directly towards funding hospice and palliative care program. And every year for the last 68 years, we have produced a large-scale production, which for the last, I don't know, maybe 35 years, we've been at the Palace Theater. This is the next step to move to the Southern, going to a little bit more of an intimate space. It's a very large-scale, grand production. We do a big flashy show to bring the audiences in to raise money for this incredible organization and for families and parents and children who really need help in a very trying time.
100% of the proceeds go to the Butterfly Guild. What are some of the shows that have been done in the past?
Last year we did Into the Woods with Nina West. The year before that we did Disney's Beauty and the Beast. We've done The Sound of Music. We did, we've done Annie before. Mamma Mia, The Music Man. Yes, we did The Music Man. Shrek. We usually try and do shows that are family friendly, that you can bring your whole family to and enjoy an afternoon or evening at the theater.
And you don't leave singing the sets, although they're lovely. You leave singing the songs.
The songs, exactly.
Yeah, because they are so compelling in all of these shows. Annie is this year's choice, and we're going to talk to you about that as we continue this program. I just want to introduce everybody else and get people working in. Chad Whittington, speaking of the Southern Theater. You run the Southern Theater. You run the Palace Theater. You run the Ohio Theater. Help me out here. Keep going.
The Lincoln Theater, we manage the Davidson Theater in the studios over in the Rife Center for the state, and we're involved with management at the McCoy Center. And the one that people might not be familiar with is the Schubert Theater out in New Haven, Connecticut.
You're still doing the Schubert?
We're still doing the Schubert. This is actually, July will be the 25th anniversary of our operations out there.
That is the birthplace of the hits.
It is. It's got a great history. If you think about the Roger and Hammerstein shows, most of them debuted there. New Haven is about a two-hour drive, depending on traffic, from New York. So it was a great place to try out shows before then they would head in on Broadway. And a great story was a show called Away We Go that tried out for a couple of weeks out at the Schubert Theater. And they decided, based on audience feedback and the producers being out there and everything, they said, you know, we don't think this name's going to work. And then a couple weeks later, when it opened up in New York, it was Oklahoma.
Changed the title to Oklahoma. Many a rewrite, I think, was done backstage in the Schubert Theater
for
in
sure.
New Haven as
for
well.
Sure.
I just mentioned to you off mic that I went to the Palace Theater few weeks ago for Opera Columbus, and had not been in the Palace Theater for 20 years. I don't know why, but I hadn't. And since it was renovated, it is absolutely beautiful. What a job that was done from that theater.
Thank you. And that's really, you know, a result of the community. We raised about $8 million back between 2015 and 2017 that allowed us in 2018 to put that money into the Palace Theater. And it was really a huge refresh of both the backstage areas, took care of things like HVAC, so it bought us another 20 to 25 years without needing major infrastructure at the Palace. And we also, it was great. At the time, we had scaffolding all the way up to the ceiling inside the theater because we repainted the entire thing. So really proud of the way it looks now, and you know, two beautiful old large theaters between the Ohio and the Palace.
The Ohio continues from strength to strength. You have the Sound of Music. Is it there now?
Sound of Music is going on right now.
Yes, yes.
Not a lot of tickets left, but
I can't imagine there's any tickets left. Yeah. You're in the news as well. You are refurbishing other properties downtown and a bit west of downtown. Let's do an update on Central Presbyterian Church if we can.
Sure. We're really excited. We're getting to the end of fundraising on this. Still working, hoping for some money out of the state capital bill or from the state yet this spring that would really allow us to be done with the fundraising on it. But despite that, we're far enough along. We feel like we're going to be able to start the demolition of the Sunday school on the back in April or May. So we're just we're getting to the point where we're going to start the work and then have it open by mid-27. So it's a... Imagine an old church built in the 1850s. What's really exciting for us is we're going to leave that historical part of it much like it is now, which means flat floor. It's going to have removable seating. It's going to have a movable stage. So it gives us a lot of flexibility that none of our other spaces do, which is really exciting. Think about immersive entertainment, theater in the round, things that we can't do in the Ohio, the Southern, the Palace, or any of the other theaters, we're going to be able to do in this space. So it really gives Kappa a new dimension. It allows us to act or interact with local artists in a way that we might not necessarily be able to do at the larger theaters. So we're really excited about that. Again, we've raised at this point almost $16 million out of the community, so really appreciative of Columbus is always really there to step up and invest in the arts when we need it, and I appreciate their support on this.
I directed a show in there many years ago, and it was an antiquated space. It was a beautiful space, but it needed some love. But it worked very well with what we did in there, even with the pews still. And it was still functioning as a church, but they rented it to us for a while. The congregation has moved anyway.
We bought the church back in 2013, and it's an old sandstone building. It takes a lot to take care of it, and just gotten to the point the congregation wasn't large enough to take care of it. But they trusted Kappa and approached us about purchasing it. And even though back at that point we didn't quite need it from the perspective of calendars and the other theaters. We knew that day would come because of the growth that we've been seeing in Columbus, and that's why we're here where we are now and able to get the building open.
And it's just about catty corner from the Ohio Theater, almost. It's on 3rd, just past State, is that right?
It is. The old post office / government building that is now the Baker Grade and Loft is directly south of that. So if you're coming down 3rd Street, it only goes one direction to the south. Over on the left-hand side, you can see the tall green spires. And we're going to get those lighted up, so it's going to have a lot of presence once we get the building going.
Chad Whittington is the CEO of Kappa always has wonderful ideas and influence, wonderful new ideas to keep revitalizing downtown and offering more home for the arts. Speaking of the arts, Lita Hoffman is here, the producing artistic director of the Contemporary Theater of Ohio. When we say Contemporary Theater of Ohio, how does that inform your programming?
Yeah, so we do 5 productions a year, and they're all contemporary plays. So usually the plays that we're picking have been written in the last just couple years. So you're seeing the freshest shows. Most of them have maybe just had a big run in New York on Broadway or off, or are being done all around the country. And so all the shows we do are written really recently, because that allows us to talk about contemporary issues and get into the current moment and what's happening in Columbus, in our state, and in our country through the shows that we do.
Do you ever work with playwrights? Basically, you take what they've written or do it?
Yeah, so the majority of our shows have been written and are finalized, but about every other year we work with a new playwright to do a world premiere or sometimes a second production of a play that's still in progress.
Where do you perform?
We perform at the Rife Center. So Kappa manages these beautiful studio theaters. If you've been to the Davidson, if you go the other direction, you go up this up the escalator into these great studio spaces. And they seat between 170 to 220. So they're really wonderfully intimate. You're not too far away from the action. So we're right there at the Rife Center in these really, really lovely, intimate theater spaces that are flexible, and we get to play with lots of different scenery.
Lita, when did you come to Columbus?
I've been here a little over 5 years
now. You came from Milwaukee in Chicago,
yes,
is that correct?
Correct, yeah.
What was your work there?
Yeah, I worked at Milwaukee Repertory Theater, which is the large theater in Milwaukee, for about 8 years. Founded the community engagement department there, and so was working a lot about how the theater really connects to who we are locally. And then I moved to Chicago to run a storefront theater called Straw Dog, and was also producing a season of about 3 to 4 contemporary plays, working with new playwrights.
When you connect to a community, having done that in Milwaukee, having done that in Chicago, which is a huge major city, you come to Columbus. Are there any differences in those communities? Does your approach or your outlook change depending on where you happen to be?
Yeah. Well, the reason I chose to come to Columbus from Chicago is actually the way we get to be really hyperly local, because we're not a giant city. I think these mid-sized Midwestern cities are the place to make the best art, because you really can talk to people, and you can invite city council people and the mayor, and you've got political leaders and arts leaders and community leaders who are all really invested in the work that you're doing. So like next week when we open Jaja's African Hair Braiding, we're going to have a whole bunch of community leaders there in the lobby seeing this work and a part of that conversation with us. And that's the favorite thing about the way that we get to work, is we really are being a part of the conversations at the highest level of who we are as a city.
Talk about that play. Give us the title again, a little bit about it.
Yeah, so Jaja's African Hair Braiding was written in 2018 by Ohio State alum Jocelyn Bio. Had an amazing success, went to Broadway, Tony nominated, and it's all about women who are working in a hair braiding salon. And so it's really fun. Lots of great, moments of the drama of who's jealous of who and who's dating who. And so it's just the inner lives of these amazing entrepreneurs, figuring out who they are. Lots of mixed immigration status in these salons that exist in New York City. They exist right here in Columbus. And so also we start to talk about the topic of immigration and how different immigration status is affecting these women's day-to-day choices.
That's a question for you, and maybe for David as well, as directors and dramaturgs. Is it crucial to address what's going on in our world when you bring something to the stage? Can you change the context? Is the context of our very complicated life today important, or do you want to just have them laughing?
Yeah, I think you can't escape what's in your head when you walk into the room. So, I always promise people, we're not here to depress you. We're not here to lecture you. Jaja's African Hair Braiding is a comedy, and it's full of laughs and dance and music, and it's a celebration. But at the core, obviously, we're talking about things that you might hear on the news, things that you might be personally worried about, trying to figure out. I always try to say, if you leave the theater, you came, you had a great time, you had fun with your friends, and then you go, actually, I want to call my grandma. I want to reach out to that friend I haven't talked to in a little while. I want to make sure that I get more politically active, right? There might be lots of different ways that you walk out of a show, but I think no matter what it is, no matter how entertaining and the spectacle and the joy of all of the songs and dance, you're still connecting it to who you are and the things you're trying to process as a person.
How about you, David? Sometimes you deal with classics.
Right.
Like Andy.
Yeah, I think with Annie, when we picked this show a year and a half ago, we didn't know what was going to be going on in our country currently. But when Annie came out on Broadway in the late 1970s, New York was in a very state of despair, and we were, in a recession, and it wasn't a very welcoming place for people to want to bring their families to, and it was about the Depression and a time when there were no jobs for people and the wealthy were the only ones who were surviving, and I said, in many ways, this musical mirrors kind of what's going
Depression.
On right now yeah. in our country, and that at the heart of Annie is a little girl who truly believes that despite all the pain and strife and struggles that she has gone through and that she sees others going through, that we are able to persevere and look for the silver lining and the sun will come out tomorrow.
And you would know, David Baggett is directing Annie for the Butterfly Guild of Nationwide Children's Hospital. We're going to take a break and come right back with more of All Sides Weekend. Don't go away.
This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube, but what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.
We are back with All Sides Weekend. I'm Christopher Purdy, delighted to have my guest, Lita Hoffman, who is the producing artistic director of the Contemporary Theater of Ohio. Chad Whittington is the president and CEO of Kappa, and David Baggett is directing Annie for the Butterfly Guild of Nationwide Children's Hospital. David, let's sell some tickets. When?
Absolutely. And Annie opens next weekend on Friday, March 6th. We have five performances for the public, so that is March 6th at 7 o'clock. We have a 1 o'clock and a 7 o'clock performance on March 7th, and then a 1 o'clock and a 6 o'clock performance on March 8th at the Southern Theater. And tickets are available through kappa.com. And you can purchase your tickets there. Please only purchase your tickets through kappa.com. No third-party resellers. And yeah, it's going to be a great show. Our matinee performances are sold very well. So your best bet for tickets right now are for your evening performances.
Bring the family. I've seen many of their productions, and they're always wonderful, and they're always, there's a lot of joy on the stage.
Absolutely.
For the audience, and we all need that right now. So if you want a wonderful day to take your kids or your loved ones out, this is for you. Annie at the Southern Theater, thanks to the Butterfly Guild. Chad Whittington, the president and CEO of Kappa, you are very much a part of making all of this happen that we talk about. I couldn't do this show at all with anybody without you and your colleagues at Kappa. You're also now moving a bit west of downtown.
Yeah, we are. We're excited, actually. We've just a couple of weeks ago have really taken over operations of the Idea Foundry. So it's exciting to be in Franklinton. Franklinton has such a history of connection to the arts, and there's so much great art that takes place down there. It just seems natural for us to move into that area. And so we're excited. We've met a lot of the folks that work down there, and they're excited as well. So for those that might not know the Idea Foundry, it's a creative maker space. So there's a lot of physical art that is made there.
Is this 400 Rich?
It's not. It's similar in terms of, okay, of the concept, but this is a different building. Again, it's like it's all concentrated down there,
right,
in a small area, which is great, right? It creates this creative vibe, which I think is really important for a community to have. So things like saws and laser printers and all those sorts of things. There's also some office space for nonprofit organizations. And so really what we want to do is maintain all of that. Alex Bandar, John Che and others that have been involved over the years have created something that's really cool. I think what Kappa coming to it brings to it is the resources to layer on top of it. So increase the number of classes that can be offered, get some artists back, renovate the space, add performance art. There's an area down in the basement that would make a great cabaret. We're really excited about that once we figure out how to fund it. There's currently a space right in the middle of the building that's got a kind of, for lack of a better word, wooden bleachers where people can sit, and you can do performance right now for 50 to 75 people. So within just a few months, we're going to start really taking advantage of that. So I talked about the church being a way for us to expand our ability to interact with local artists. This is another way we're going to do that.
And sort of on the lip of that, almost in Franklinton, is the projected site for the Columbus Symphony's new hall. So you're sort of having a new sort of jewel in a, you know, necklace of performing arts availability in sort of an underutilized area right now.
Yeah, that's right. It would be a great connector between what happens in downtown near the Capitol all the way through Franklinton. So it's exciting to see all this. It really creates momentum for the arts in downtown Columbus.
One of the productions that CAPA brings to town that you, if you're lucky, you get tickets for because they sell it very quickly is Broadway in Columbus. Now we have Sound of Music here now. What else is coming with that?
Yeah, we've got Outsiders, Shucked. We've got five performances of Hadestown, and then I feel like I'm missing one, Water for Elephants, which is going to be here in June. So all of those shows are between now and June. And then on March 30th, we've got our season announcement at the Ohio Theater where we let everybody know what we're bringing.
Oh, tell us now.
I'd get a pretty nasty call from New York pretty quickly if I did that.
Keep them guessing, but they'll be wonderful and tickets will be hard to come by. So subscribe, get to it. Do you ever have to adapt this theater for a touring show? The actual physical structure? Do you have to make changes?
Well, we did a major renovation of the Ohio Theater back in the mid-2000s because Broadway shows were getting bigger and we were literally at the point, the stage of the Ohio, which is our between the Palace and the Ohio. The Ohio already had a much larger stage than the Palace did. But the large shows like the Aladdin's and the Phantom of the Operas and the Lion Kings were getting large enough they were not going to physically fit into the Ohio Theater. So unless we blew out the back wall and created more space, we weren't going to be able to have those shows in Columbus. So spent several million dollars to make the stage larger. So that's a real physical improvement or change that we made to accommodate the shows. But yes, there are shows. I mentioned Aladdin. It was a really heavy show in terms of how many of the sets you had to fly up into the top of the theater in order to make the show work. And so had to have engineers come in and look at weight requirements and all those sorts of things and then help us reinforce the structure of the line sets and such to be able to accommodate the show. So yeah, when as shows get bigger, we have to go through that process over and over.
I don't know how big this show was, but one of the most beautiful looking shows and also acted that I saw there was To Kill a Mockingbird with Richard Thomas. Yep. It looked like an Edward Hopper painting. It was absolutely
beautiful.
Gorgeous and sold out. You couldn't move. So congratulations for that. Who are some of your other constituents that are local that use CAPA's facilities?
Well, we have a lot of folks that use our theaters, and it's a big part of the business that we are. So everybody from Ballet Met to Columbus Symphony. Obviously, both of the folks I'm here with today mentioned it, but Jazz Arts Group, Pro Musica, the list goes on and on. You know, we manage so many of the downtown theaters that there are literally dozens of groups that we host every year. And I think that's important, right? Columbus needs to be a city. One of our goals is to make sure that Columbus is a city where people can stay here and they can see any form of performing art that's available. So they don't have to feel like they need to go to New York or any other city to experience something. And I think as a community, and this isn't just CAPA, right? It's all the other groups that we work with. I think we've made a huge amount of progress in that over the last 20 years that I've been part of the arts in Columbus, and it's something we should be proud of. You know, we're also at the point where I think even the most avid arts enthusiasts can't keep up with everything that goes on because we've got so much going on.
It's a good problem to have. Where do I go tonight? Because there are always choices. Have you made most of your career at CAPA in various offices?
I have. I actually started working the security desk and in maintenance at the Ohio Theater
while I was going to Ohio State. But okay, yeah.
So it's been great.
Changes have you noticed in the community over those years as a presenter or working for the big presenter?
Yeah, I think recognition of the arts, for one. I think in response to the growth that we've shown in terms of trying to provide a lot of different things, the community has responded with their support. I mentioned some of the capital campaigns that the community has supported over the years. But I think even from an operating perspective, there's certainly not every moment's great, but we have more stability in the arts than we used to because of the support. We were talking before this started that, you know, really when things are tough, the community steps up for arts and culture organizations.
Tell me about it. It happened over here. Yes, of course.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I think that's a real sign that we're doing great things and then the community's appreciated. You know?
David, something I'm very curious specifically for you is because you're a younger person, and you've been in the arts for many years, and I think since you were a kid.
I grew up 1986 in Columbus Junior Theater before it changed.
How do you make a life in the arts in this town?
I am a firm believer that if you really love art and you really want to make a living out of it, you have to understand also that you're going to have to supplement your income in some form of another, even when you live in New York. And
especially
you,
when you,
you are a Broadway actor and then your show closes and you have to figure out how to get another job until you get your next job that you, you know, fulfills your artistic, you know, need and want and desire. I work at Otterbein University. I work with students, and that, you know, I love doing, and then I love leaving that job and going to do my passion projects. And, you know, I think that both fulfill me and in a different way. But I think you need to just remember that why you do what you love. And if you want to be a millionaire and be in the arts, you're probably in it for the wrong reason. I always used to tell my students that when I taught at Fort Hays, I would say, if you want to be a movie star, then you're in this program for the wrong reason, because the likelihood of you being a movie star is really not probably going to happen. Not that it couldn't, but...
You mentioned a life in New York, particularly in the late 70s. You weren't there, but I was.
Right.
I lived there then. And I remember a time where they would give you tickets to Broadway shows. They weren't selling it. They were begging you to go in there, and they would hand you the tickets because nobody was going out. And that went on for 2 or 3 years. I remember
right.
that. So, I mean, I saw great things. There wasn't a lot because nobody could make any money. But, you know... When you're a grad student with no money, it was great. But the city was not a place to be in the late 70s.
Right.
It is now. It has been ever since. It's certainly
back. And Annie especially brought people, you know, families back
they
to
brought
New
kids,
York.
They brought kids into the theater. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That show did wonderfully well. I think that was maybe when the tide turned a little bit, when people realized we can go out at night. We can bring the family out at night. There
right.
was something.
And seeing. And I think it actually coincided with Studio 54 opening almost around the same time, because I've watched a documentary where all the orphan kids used to go to Studio 54 when they were like 12, 13 years old and party with Liza Minnelli.
And they'd get in, which is why it closed in 18 months. That's one of the reasons it didn't last, for goodness sake.
But that's
another show. We'll do a show on that later. What you have things coming up as well that you're going to do after Annie closes.
I do. Actually, right after Annie closes, I start rehearsals for Guys and Dolls at Columbus Children's Theater, which I'm directing, which also plays at the Southern Theater.
Are kids doing the roles?
So it's mostly adults are playing the adult roles. We do have youth in the ensemble and throughout. You know, we have teenagers and some of the guys chorus. And
I did Nicely Johnson in high school. You have a problem, call me. I still remember it.
I will keep that in my back pocket. Yeah, so that runs April 24th, 25th, 26th. And then this summer I'm going to be out at Weathervane Playhouse in Newark playing Harold Hill in The Music Man, which is fun. I always like to jump back on stage every now and then.
That's
that
was a demanding
really my,
part. That's a demanding part. Have you done it before?
I have not, and I need to start learning the lyrics to Trouble because it's a.
Well, what are you doing sitting here? You should be studying.
I know. No, I should. I should. I really should.
The very busy David Baggett and the very busy Lita Hoffman from the Contemporary Theater of Ohio. You have one play coming up. Remind us.
Yeah, so Jaja's African Hair Braiding opens next week. So March 5th and 6th, there are Pay What You Want previews with opening night on March 7th, and we run through March 22nd.
Pay What You Want is becoming a model. How is that working out?
Yeah, it's really great. You know, we've had sponsors step up and say it's really important to us that tickets are accessible. And so through that community funding, we're able to provide tickets at whatever price you want. You just come to the theater before the show starts and you let us know what you're able and willing to pay.
What comes after that play?
Yeah, and then we're closing our season with a beautiful new play called Primary Trust. It won the Pulitzer Prize about a year ago. An Ebony Booth play is all about this young man in his 30s trying to figure out where he belongs in the world, and he's able to find really great community. And Jeff Nelson, who founded Catco, which is now the Contemporary, Jeff is making his return after decades away to come back and be in that show. So I'm
he's living back
him.
In Ohio, I
yeah,
think.
He's,
he is.
He's
yeah.
moved back to Cleveland, and so he's going to come down here to Columbus for those couple months and be a part of the show with us.
That's fantastic. Now tell me about your summer, because you don't go away.
Correct. Yeah. So our season really runs through the school year from August through May, but we spend the summer doing work for young people. So all throughout the year, we are in Columbus City Schools doing residencies. We're doing Saturday morning programs that folks can sign up for where they write their own musicals. But the summer, things really take off. So both at the Rife Center and at the Columbus Performing Arts Center, we have summer camps running. And our summer camps are for students 8 through 14, and they spend 4 weeks with us, and they write their own shows. So I think about doing community theater, contemporary theater, doing work that is really new. The newest work is being written by the young folks that we work with. So they write there, they build their sets and figure out their costumes and get to perform in their very own shows.
I often like to make the point that when you go to the theater or the symphony or the ballet or the opera in this town and you sit there at the, I guess what you call the main stage presentation, you're seeing about 40% of what they actually do.
Exactly.
Because there's so much goes on that's maybe not for the adult general public. It's in the schools, it's
yeah.
backstage. It's, they don't, it's like having a day job. The day job, I guess, would be what the people pay for in the evening or the matinee. But there's so much more going on. And I think that's true for, I know that's true for Ballet Met and the opera and the symphony. I'm sure that's true for ProMusica.
Yeah, right.
All of you do that.
All the arts organizations in town, we know that, you know, unless we're training people and using the arts, that we're really missing out on the bulk of what we can do. And I think it's important for people to know, too, that as well as training people to be actors, to be musicians, what we're really doing is using the arts to teach lifelong skills. So students who are coming to our summer camps, who are working with in classrooms, they might not grow up to be theater professionals, but they're going to grow up to be people who are not afraid to take risks, who are comfortable speaking in front of their peers, who are storytellers, who are writers. And that's the work that we're really proud of.
That is the Contemporary Theater of Ohio. So you're teaching playwrights.
Yes, we are.
You're training young mm-hmm. playwrights as well. I was going to ask, well, we'll do that after a break. We're going to take a break right now and come on back with more of our conversation with three great arts leaders. This is All Sides Weekend on 89.7 NPR News. We are back. This is All Sides Weekend. We're talking about arts and culture today here on 89.7 NPR News. I'm Christopher Purdy, talking with three wonderful arts leaders, Lita Hoffman, producing artistic director of the Contemporary Theater of Ohio, Chad Whittington, the president and CEO of Kappa. Nothing happens without Kappa. Thank you. And David Baggett, who's directing Annie for the Butterfly Guild at Nationwide Children's Hospital. David, one more time, the schedule of performances.
The schedule of performances is next weekend. We open March 6th, and we run through the 8th at the Southern Theater. The 6th is at 7 o'clock. We have two performances on the 7th at 1 and 7 o'clock, and then two performances on Sunday the 8th at 1 and 6 o'clock, and tickets are available through kappa.com.
That's the best and easiest way to do it, kappa.com.
Best and easiest way.
For your tickets for anything going on in Central Ohio. Tell me about your cast.
Oh, the cast is excellent. So we are so fortunate to have a local actress, Nora West, who is playing the role of Annie. Nora actually just finished a long run on the national tour last year of Annie, where she played Duffy. She did a 6-week run at Madison Square Garden with Whoopi Goldberg as Miss Hannigan. She's absolutely incredible, and just really, honestly, I find her to be very inspiring, you know, and she reminds me of what made me love theater as a kid, right? She just has this sparkle about her on stage that you just, it's infectious. Tim Browning, local actor, is playing Daddy Warbucks. Molly Demansky is playing the role of Miss Hannigan. And then Grace Farrell is being played by Dana DeLisa Boda, who was Eliza Doolittle on the Cameron McIntosh Trevor Nunn national tour years ago, and now lives here in Columbus with her husband and her three kids.
It's a big show, so you probably have a lot of big local presence as well. That's a lot of people in that show.
We do. And a lot of actors that, are professional actors who are used to maybe getting paid to do work come out and audition because of the charity aspect of the production, and also getting to perform at a big, grand, beautiful theater is very exciting. But I really do think most of the actors that come out and audition want to be involved because of what the mission of the Butterfly Guild is, to raise money for the hospice and palliative care programming at Nationwide Children's.
David Baggett is directing Annie. He's also going to be starring in The Music Man later in the summer. He's also directing Guys and Dolls for the Columbus Children's Theater. So mm-hmm. You go from that to that probably
Monday
morning. You start working on,
right.
on Guys and Dolls.
And planning orientation programming at Otterbein University all while that's going on.
And Lita Hoffman has a new season to tell us about.
We do. So we just announced our next season, and subscriptions go on sale. It's the best way. March 5th, subscriptions go on sale. The best way to get the best seats at the best price. And so you can buy them all as a package. We're doing Alanis Morissette's Jagged Little Pill, the musical, which I think everyone has heard of. Then this really cool new play called Eureka Day, which is a comedy about whether kids should be vaccinated in schools. Very topical and really, really hilarious as the conversations fall off the rails. We're bringing back our one-woman production of Christmas Carol around
the holiday
season.
Talk about that a little bit, because that's been a hit.
Yeah, it's been a hit. It's coming back for its fourth year. Angela Iannone is this phenomenal actress that I've known for many, many years from my time in Milwaukee, who now lives here. And so we're going to be able to do this show again. She plays all the characters all by herself, a nice little 70-minute telling of A Christmas Carol. So that'll be back for the holidays. And then in the new year, we're doing my favorite play, John Proctor is the Villain, that just had an incredible Broadway run. Everyone's talking about it. And I'm just beyond thrilled that we were able to get the rights to bring it here
to
Columbus.
Okay, stupid question.
Yes.
John Proctor's, we're talking The Crucible?
We are talking The Crucible.
Arthur Miller.
Arthur Miller.
So talk about that relationship.
Yeah, so the Kimberly Bellflower has written this play about a group of teenagers reading The Crucible in their high school English class.
As one did, yes.
As you do, right? And it's right at the height of the Me Too movement. And so these young women in this class are looking around and going, hey, what is going on in the world around us? And actually, John Proctor, the great hero of the American theater, was a man having a sexual relationship with his employee, who was a teenage girl. And we don't talk about that when we talk about this great work, mm-hmm. The Crucible. And these young women start to dig into that. And then, as things are happening in their own community, in their own families, their own lives, they're figuring out how to connect the dots. So it's this beautiful coming of age story, this ensemble piece that we'll cast with all local actors about who they are. And then we're going to close out our season with Where the Mountain Meets the Sea, that's got by Jeff Augustine, music by the Bengtsons. And it's all about a father and son who are Haitian Americans and the ways in which they relate to each other and figure out what it means to be people who have come from one place to another, all through the connection of music, both Haitian music and Appalachian American music. So how mountain music can be similar and different across the ocean.
Also very timely for Central Ohio,
yes,
right,
absolutely.
Now. Yes,
that's so, why we picked it.
Again, right. Well, thank you. Yeah. So that is how, entertaining and a teaching moment as well. And yeah. I think it's probably important to you, I put words in your mouth, to do both.
Exactly.
Okay. That's the Contemporary Theater of Ohio, and they'll be on the website, and you don't have to write this down right now.
Yeah, thecontemporaryohio.org. You can Google us,
right.
All the information's out there.
Okay. And with tickets as well. Chad Whittington, as the head of Kappa, listen to our guests talking about what they're doing. What goes through your mind?
Well, we talked about a little bit earlier about there's so many incredible things that you can see in Columbus, and that's what I think about whenever I'm together with my fellow arts leaders and arts enthusiasts, is we've really got a great community for seeing any kind of art. And so I'm both proud of that and excited that we can do that for the community. Sitting next to Lita right now, I also, I'll make one more plug for Jaja's, because when I saw that in New York back in 2019, I can't remember now, I thought that is a show that needs to come to Columbus. It's not a show for the Broadway series, but someone needs to do that. And I'm always excited when Lita at Contemporary or Edward up at Short North Stage end up doing something courageous in terms of adding something to a season, but that's something that's really important for the community. So when, everybody get out there and support it, please.
When I saw the show on Broadway, also, Chad, I texted Lita when I left the theater, and I said, I just saw JoJo's African Hair Braiding. You have to do this show at the Contemporary.
Yeah.
It's just a perfect show for you.
Yeah. And talking about Edward Carnegie and the Garden Theater in the Short North, they just had a huge success with Come From Far Away, and now they're doing Miss Saigon, for goodness sake. So
I'm excited to see the helicopter.
I'm very excited to see that as well. So there is so much going on. So are you always actively looking for new physical spaces?
Well, I would say not actively looking. We get a lot of people that come to us, not only here in Columbus, but in surrounding smaller communities. We have a lot of great historical theaters all around the state of Ohio. So we get a lot of inquiries, and we're always looking for something that we feel we can be successful with, that where we can serve the community and still be able not become a distraction from all the things that we already do. You know, I think there is a point at which we don't want to grab things helter-skelter and lessen the quality of what we do overall. So it's a balance, and you've got to evaluate everything.
Well, but you go somewhere where there's some demand or some community interest. We have this derelict building that was once beautiful, and if we helped you bring it back, would you run it for us?
Would you show us
how to do it like that?
And even if we aren't going to run them in the long term, we spend a lot of time sharing our model with people to give them an idea of how they might be successful in their own communities.
You and I remember when the Southern Theater was basically a condemned building.
Right.
I went in there once. I was taken on a train. We did fall through the floor. I mean, it was just, they were showing kung fu movies, and there was a church there on Sundays, I think, for a while there. And now it's absolutely this magnificent space that everybody wants to use.
Yeah, and if you think about the Lincoln Theater before we did the renovation,
I want to ask you about the Lincoln,
you could look up and you could see the sky. I mean, there's a huge hole in the roof. So we have taken these old, important history, right? Not only have we been able to increase what we're doing in terms of the performing arts, but we are saving what I believe is important history for this community. You think about the walk into the Ohio. One of my favorite things to do is watch people, especially children, come into the Ohio Theater for the first time.
Well, that's a rough time.
Before they even walk through the doors to the auditorium, just looking around the lobby, this is so cool. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that, right? And these are buildings that, new centers are great, technology is great, and it certainly has its place, but being able to preserve a piece of history that can never be recreated is important too. And I'm proud of the work that CAPA does in that area.
One thing I've seen you do personally, which really impressed me and impresses a lot of people, is I have seen you standing in front of the Ohio Theater greeting people as they come in, and shaking hands and talking to kids and really connecting with the audience. So it's as if you are, as the CEO, you actually know who is coming into the theater and why.
Yeah.
Which is information that you probably store for future programming.
Well, for sure. It helps give a sense of, I stay sometimes after the end of the show as well to see the commentary on the way out for the same reason. But it reminds me too that as much as we are about physical buildings, more importantly is what happens on the stage and the people that we're serving
in the building,
the community.
Yeah.
And staying connected to them, I think, is, to your point, really important to making sure that we stay on mission and that we evolve over time, right? All of us, the performing arts, I think, has done a good job of evolving over time in order to make sure we're meeting the needs of the audience.
Lita, when you have a show going up and the performance is happening in the Rife Center in one of the two theaters that you use there, I'm sure you're probably there almost at every performance, probably lurking in the back. I mean, what's that like for someone who's responsible for so much?
Yeah, I'm there every night, both to make a curtain speech so we can introduce people to who we are and thank the people who made it possible. But then, as Chad said, sticking around afterwards is really where you find out how things impacted people, how people are feeling. You can answer their questions about things you've got coming up. And so that presence in our lobby and that conversation that we get to have there is my favorite part of my job.
I was going to wonder what that sounds like. It would be the favorite part if you're a people person and you really...
Yeah, right. You work so hard and, you know, so many people behind the scenes making sure that these shows go up, and then to see the way that it's affected somebody, to have someone share with you the joy they've gotten in that moment, it makes it all worth it.
Lita, where do you find your actors?
Yeah, so almost all of our actors are local. Which is just so exciting to be able to showcase some really great Columbus talent. Every once in a while, you know, someone will drive in from as far as Dayton or pop up from
Cincinnati. Well,
you
mentioned Angela moved here.
Angela moved here. She was born and raised here. And so we're just working with folks who are here, right here in our local community, and who are professional actors. Some of them have been working in Columbus their whole careers. Some people have moved away for a little bit and then come back. And so it's really great. Same with our design team, you know, sets, costumes, lights, sound, props, all of these are made and built right here.
People respond to beauty and people respond to fun, and if you can combine those as Annie does, you're going to get crowds.
Yeah.
If it's well done, you're going to get people coming to see it.
Jaja's African Hair Braiding is selling better than any show we've done in a long time, and just to hear the excitement in the community.
Well, I better hurry up then, because I want to come and see that. Great. So that would be terrific. And I'm really excited about your summer programs as well. I think that people really need to know more about that, particularly parents. So you're gearing, again, give me the age.
Yeah, so we do 4-week-long camps for ages 8 to 14, but then we also have mini camps. So that first week of July, we're doing mini camps that are just 2 hours long for kids who are 5 to 7. So that's really fun to bring in the super littles.
Oh, little kids.
Just for a section of the day so that they can do their own theater activities and really get a taste of acting before they move up into our later elementary and middle school programs.
David, were you a little kid when you started?
I was 10. My first show was 10, but I started doing camps at Columbus Junior Theater before that. I think first grade, second grade. Yeah. You couldn't do shows until you were 10. So fourth grade was my first time I did a show.
Did you work before with the Columbus Children's Theater as an actor when you
I
were
I did. Oh, my whole entire childhood was there until I was 22 and graduated and moved to New York.
They do fantastic work at the Columbus Children's Theater.
Bill Goldsmith was my mentor for my whole life.
As for many.
Bill Goldsmith is in Annie. He plays FDR in the show.
No kidding, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
He's great.
You tell me this now. We have 3 minutes
left. I'm sorry, I forgot.
Bill Goldsmith is playing FDR. That's a great move, by the way. That's terrific. Yeah, he'll be wonderful in that. One thing I always ask people who are immersed in the arts in Central Ohio, whatever the temperature outside is, and I don't mean the weather, what is your prediction for the next 12 to 18 months, just as your work continues?
Great question. I'm optimistic. Again, population growth here in Columbus has certainly helped us, but I'm excited about the Broadway season we're going to announce and what I know about the residents and what they're bringing over the course of the next year. I remain optimistic we're going to have great crowds in the theater.
The Columbus Symphony is doing some very innovative programming too. They're doing a lot of the hits, but they're doing a few pieces that really people need to hear, and they're doing a good job of telling people about them in advance. So there's a lot going on. And Pro Musica, I think, is a fantastic organization. Mm-hmm. And I'll say it again. Janet Chen is the best arts administrator I've ever met in my life. That's it. And I've been around. I've been around a long time. So I'm saying it again. How about you, Lita?
Yeah, I think that given the temperature outside, really what we're looking for more than ever is ways to be together. And I think that's what the performing arts do so well is you're not just sitting alone and experiencing a piece of art, but you're experiencing with other people. And I just think, more and more we're seeing people say, hey, you know, I'm trying to process what's happening. I'm trying to figure out what's going on. And when we come together and we can all watch a show, listen to music in a room, we feel that sense of community. And I think we can also take that and create the action and the change we want to see in this city.
David Baggett, I'm going to tell you something. I often still to this day get calls from usually dads. She or he wants to study classical guitar. What am I going to do? Oh my God. So my question to you is, if you have a parent with a precocious gifted child or somebody who wants to study it.
Right.
What do you do? What do you tell the parent? What do you tell the kid?
I say
kids 12, 14 years old.
Find somewhere where you can start to discover that desire, that inner beast that wants to, you know, unleash. Talk to your teachers at your school, reach out to the Contemporary to Columbus Children's Theater to local arts organizations to find out programming that's available. Find a voice teacher. Find somebody. And, you know, I get emails from people just that I don't really know from on social media that are like, oh, my, you know, my niece is really interested in taking a voice lesson. Do you have someone you recommend? And I will always recommend people. And, you know, that's how I got into theater. You know, I found a voice teacher and I started taking singing lessons. And from there, I started taking, you know, auditions at Columbus Children's Theater. And then the rest is history. And here I am. 30 years later.
What fed me when I was very young, and this goes back 60 years, was the local public library. And I say that because Columbus is so blessed with the Columbus Metropolitan mm-hmm. Library System. The public library was my treasure house from the time I was 6 and 7 years old. So go to the library and then go to the theater and then go to whatever Kappa tells you to go to because they're always right. And go to see Lita Hoffman's shows at the Contemporary Theater of Ohio and go next weekend to see Annie at the Southern Theater and support the great work of the Butterfly Guild that supports palliative care at Nationwide Children's Hospital. That is directed by my guest, David Baggett. Chad Whittington is the president and CEO of Kappa. Thank you for all you do and your organization does and the great people that work for you there. Make it happen.
People.
Thank you for that. Thank you, Lita Hoffman, for bringing theater front and center to Central Ohio at the Contemporary Theater of Ohio. Thank you, Chris Johnson, for making radio with us. I'm Christopher Purdy. This is All Sides Weekend Arts on Culture on 89.7 NPR News.
This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube. But what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.